This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Hey there, centaurs.
Ooh.
Welcome back to Elderborn, everybody.
Switching it up.
Now I know how it feels.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Cut. Outspoken, reverent, brave, eloquent, able, understanding, extra fun to be around. Corbo Babineau. That is an acrostic poem,
you
ladies and gentlemen.
You did do an acrostic. I made a joke last time that you're going to do an acrostic.
And then with a perfect acrostic, we've got Emily Axford.
Okay, Tarragon, Snake Root, touchy.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Animated.
Okay.
Rare.
Yep.
Rin to go.
Okay.
Acrobatic. Grower.
Mm-hmm.
Ornithopter.
Wow.
Neon.
Yeah.
Better than mine, and I spent a fucking week coming up with it. Damn.
And then before he could finish scribbling down his notes, we've got Lou Wilson.
I'm so close. I just need something for I. Justice, amped, bump in, archer, rager, incredible.
Yeah!
Jabari, the Safari Hightower. In the building.
That okay, can I just one. Say that I do love an acrostic and I would be down to do that next week as well. And actually, this time I get to write
right.
one out.
Yes. We'll see. We'll see.
Fuck yeah, you. Course. No matter what, next week I'm doing an acrostic. Eat my ass. I get to do my acrostic.
Yeah, at any point you guys can deviate from the script and just not follow Jake's lead, but you have chosen.
I'm not a leader. I don't know why this is happening.
No, yeah. I like it. But next week, I really like the acrostics.
Yeah,
I mean, that was good too. You were going, and I was like, "What? What's going on?" Like, I was like, "Did he just find a word? And is he reading synonyms for it?" Shit, get to dictionary.com. I'm glad you called it out as an acrostic. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been on. I just would have read from a thesaurus.
I recognize it immediately.
She could spot an acrostic a mile away.
A fellow acrostic
fan. I'm a bit of like an acrostic savant,
yeah.
Except for when it comes to making one on my head. Although rare. In Ring to Go was pretty good.
Yeah, that was really
solid.
Good.
Rare
was good.
Ring to Go was, yeah. that was tight.
Well, tell you what, I'm raring to go, so why don't we get
nice.
Into a little recap.
The transition.
So last week, you guys began your adventure at Glada's hut in the Secret Grove. After a lovely night of reconciliation and lawn mermaid hijinks, you awoke to a concerned Glada, telling you that she could not contact the sprites at the entrance of the grove. You rushed to the gate and found evidence of a fight, dead sprites, and an injured Stalios. Stalios informed you that the Prophet Gideon had dipped in to turn a few centaurs before returning to the material plane to hunt down Wymer's fleeing forces. You made your way to Pearl Hill to confront him, where you found Gideon accumulating an undead army by turning the townsfolk. You found Sir Reynard arguing with a knight of Gideon's cavalry about whether or not they should follow orders or join the living against the dead. Corbo slapped the knight with some diplomacy, but also with his hand.
A diplomatic slap.
A diplomatic slap. The slap on NBC. Remember that joke, everybody? Remember we were making jokes about that? Was that on NBC?
I rewatched that scene from the slap.
Yeah.
It's insane. I cannot. You want to have a fun Saturday night that's a little weird? You have to. You can't just find the scene. You have to rent it. You have to pay for it. Rent the scene from the slap and watch it 8 times like I did.
I don't even think I watched, quote unquote, the scene from the slap ever. I don't know any. I only know secondhand references to the slap.
That's your Saturday night right there. Okay. Go cash in on that.
We're doing our plugs early. Watch the slap, I guess.
Watch the slap from the slap. Just the slap, scene slaps. Of the slap.
Okay.
I watched none Still of the slaps. Rest of it.
Everyone, keep it together. So after slapping the knight off his horse, you were able to convince the soldiers to unite against the undead. After a close battle where Tarragon was nearly killed several times, you were finally able to slay Gideon and help the army quell the undead uprising. But while the knights and toads celebrated their victory, you noticed Prophet Gideon's body begin to twitch and emit a light blue glow where his head used to be. And that's where we are now. So you guys are in Pearl Hill. There's kind of a strange juxtaposition of this revelry and also emergency response. You see that there are various mages and druids putting fires out around town and medics helping people. You do see that quickly there is enough kind of arcane weather manipulation that you see it begins raining around the town and the remaining fires begin to go out. You Smart. See the ivory tower of Pearl Hill still stands. It is smoldering with smoke, but the fires are out. You see the villagers at Corbo's suggestion have wheeled out kegs and are toasting to the soldiers. You see villagers and soldiers celebrating Hell together. Yeah. There's Weimer's forces with their kind of blue tabards and gold jackalopes celebrating with the Petty King's forces in red and gold. Everybody has just overcome this common enemy.
All it took was a slap.
That reverberates through time.
The slap heard round the world.
It wasn't the undead. It was the slap.
That
united. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, the common enemy was the slap. You guys do see, though, amongst all of this revelry, you did notice that Gideon's body was twitching, and you do see a dull blue glow coming from his head.
All right. Well, we should rush over there. I'm going to fill up my tankard right before, so I can drink while we investigate.
Jabari wants to save the drinking for the drinking and the investigating for the investigating. But believe me, Corbo, Jabari thinks the same thing.
I'll fill one up for you. You don't have to drink it till you're ready.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, make it three. Make it three.
Three. Yeah, you got it.
I died twice, so I could use at least I'll do four for every time I die today.
All right.
So Corbo is holding a bunch of beers like a waiter, has four mugs of ale that you're holding together in sort of a diamond shape.
I'm going to try to add a fifth one and hold it just really tight so I can get like the full diamond one.
Wow,
in the
that's like a beer pong rack.
Go ahead and give me a dexterity check, Corbo.
Gladly.
Corbo, it's still glowing, so take your time.
I rolled pretty damn low. I got good dex, but I only rolled a 13.
A 13. You see that fifth one, you flew a little too close to the sun. You see it does fall.
I was trying to
and
show
shatter.
Off. I was trying to get fancy. Fuck.
Some of the toads get sprayed. Lieutenant Brython looks upset.
Y'all needed that anyway.
Yes, they need to be watered, the toads.
The toads look
watered.
They got a little watered. They're getting watered by the water. You don't water toads with ale. So you guys grab your beers and you go over and you see that Prophet Gideon, his armor had kind of like dented in as he had been defeated here in battle. And you see that his face is reforming, but it is even more translucent than before. Like, he looks weak, but he does appear to be regenerating.
Can I put my crock on his chest so he can't sit up?
Your crock?
Like my foot.
You got a gardening crock on.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make crocks canon in
Elder Wand? I saw a picture of it one time and it just kind of seeped into my head. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking.
Tarragon puts her boot.
Her war crock.
On. Yes. Tarragon puts her boot on Gideon's chest.
Read between the lines, artist.
You all know. We all know what it looks like. We all know what.
Why on earth you would want your cool Hexblood to wear Crocs is beyond me. Artists, do not listen to her. Make Tarragon cool.
I saw a picture of it one time, and I think I just internalized it.
You mentioned it so fucking casually.
It's good too. Yeah, I didn't find it at all. In my head, I
thought it was a term I didn't know. I was like, it can't be like regular Earth Crocs.
She was talking about like a place on the armor, like, oh, the croc of his armor.
Like the crook of your neck or something. Yes. At first I was like, she's talking about some body part that I don't know what she means. But no, she meant Crocs. Good Lord.
Oh my God. I'm wearing Crocs.
Disgusting. Oh. Everyone stop. Okay. So Tarragon puts her boot onto Gideon's chest.
Just as a precaution to make sure he doesn't like pop up.
You see he does react. You see there is like a pained groan, and you still see the image of his face despite his head being translucent here. And you see he kind of had his eyes closed and was wincing, and then just kind of slowly opens them and looks at you barely awake and goes,
"Fools, you're going to ruin everything. You're on the wrong side."
Whose side are you on? What's your name? Your real name, not whatever she did to you.
My name is Gideon.
Okay.
This place is limbo. What we do here is meaningless if we do not serve the Reaper. He is the gatekeeper who keeps us from godliness. There is no rest until he is appeased.
So that's why you make undead thralls. It is in his name. That's what the Reaper wishes.
You see, he closes his eyes and goes,
"It is not my place to reveal his plan, but know that he is the only god with true power."
And suddenly, you guys hear a voice behind you go,
"Stand back. We must burn the body or he will regenerate. This is an S-class horror."
Who? That? Okay.
I'm keeping my eye. You guys, Jabari, Corbo, check out that weird-ass voice, because I got business here. I got to make sure this guy doesn't sit up. Yeah,
keep your crock on that chest.
Yes, your body
your
will
boot,
turn around.
Your boot is on the chest. You guys turn and see a battle mage in a red robe. Some light elements of chainmail over her robe with some steel pauldrons. Short, yellow, orange hair that covers one side of her face. It's less blonde and more like a lick of flame.
Wow.
You see she wears a shiny, golden, grated mask that covers the lower half of her face that seems to be modulating her voice. Everybody go ahead and give me insight or history checks.
A 12 insight.
Okay.
17 for Tarragon.
Corbo got a 26.
Ooh, baby. Okay.
Yeah.
Insightful. I would think that you guys, as members of the Hexbloods, would be aware of other kind of elite orders around Eldermorn. And sort of, you guys have various amounts of information about this based on your insight or your history checks here. Corbo would know the most. But you guys, you all know the gist of it. This is a member of the Cindersworn. They wear these masks to help them breathe in fire and to speak when there's no oxygen. And they just wear them all the time because it is like intimidating and sort of a hallmark of their look. Mm-hmm. You know that they are an order of mages in the High Queen's Royal Army, so they are imperial troops. All of the politics you guys have been dealing with so far have been local to Outerborough.
Oh.
Petty kings.
So these are the big guns coming.
Exactly.
In.
So Harrenford is essentially like a state capital, like a local capital of Outerborough. And that's where the petty king rules, is kind of like a duke would over a duchy. But he answers to the high queen, who resides in the imperial capital to the south.
Okay, right. I'm going to have to hit you with another thing. I want to do an insight check as to what because we've been around for 100 years, and I want to know if we trust this high queen and this royalty.
So your feelings on the high queen would probably vary based on individual character choices. You guys have not been betrayed in any big way by the Empire or anything. You might blame them for the war that you all participated in the Frost Barons. Obviously, no empire is good. It is very bad to be their enemy. But this union has existed for a long time, and the Empire is weirdly, like, the capital actually operates in a way that's less fucked up than the individual territories in some ways, because the Empire has like a Senate, essentially, with like some voted officials, and they come together to like elect a high queen or a high king. So the the emperor, it is kind of decided on by an elected body, whereas the individual territories here in Eldermorn, like the petty king, come from old families. And a lot of this stuff, a lot of like the petty king and the petty queen stuff, is because these people still want to be called kings and queens, even though they're effectively dukes.
Nobility. Yeah.
But you would know the Cindersworn are kind of seen, they're kind of like the Hexbloods. They are seen as a necessary evil. Whereas the Blades deal with undead horrors on a case-by-case basis, the Cindersworn deal with containment. They have been known to like raise entire villages to prevent the rise of the undead.
Got it.
So it's an intense thing. People can argue either way of that they're like bad or that they serve the greater good. But you see this person holds their hands up. You see flickers of flame and they go, "I am Cadran Cindersworn of the High Queen's army, and I warn you to step aside."
Totally respect that, but do you mind if I mean, if you just need him to be doused in flames.
Oh, your buddy asks, please.
Yeah, come on. Hey, please. Can you please let our friend do it?
Yes, we did this. We are the reason that it is down. Please.
Yeah.
We're down to burn the body. We'll listen, but our friend's gonna do it. It's gonna be really cool.
You hear Prophet Gideon from underneath your boot goes, "What if?" And hear me out. We didn't burn him.
All right, so we got a third opinion. Let's consider all of them.
Tarragon, go ahead and give me a persuasion check with advantage.
I got 2 12s, but I got good persuasion, so it's a 19.
You see. She ceases charging up the fire in her hand. You see it just turns to smoke. She puts her hand back down at her side, and she goes,
"Very well. You have started this fight. Now you will end it under my supervision. Proceed."
You will not be disappointed.
Cool, thanks. I really appreciate you trusting me. And as I say that, flames just start raining out of my mouth, just like breathing fire.
Jabari, I think, cheers his just smashes his tankard into Corbo's wherever it is at that given moment, and just starts chugging it.
Yeah, you guys cheers. You guys see, for the first time in a very, very long time, Tarragon unleashes her fire breath.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
You see Gideon is engulfed in flame. You hear a muffled yell from him from under the crackling fire. And when the smoke clears, all that remains is a smoldering, charred suit of armor.
You all right?
Yeah. Wow, it's been a while.
And
feels good, though.
Tarragon, you see that your dragon rose is opening as you breathe fire.
Hey, yes. Look at that guy. Damn.
The flower, it likes it. See, it is good that you are back, because the flower likes that you are back.
Yeah, I'm also, I'm like completely thinking about how like horrors can be destroyed by fire. And so yet another purpose beyond even just caring for the dragon rose. Yes.
And no cinder sword, no cinder sword, no. Tarragon, she can do more. That is not it.
That was just the beginning, yeah.
That was just the beginning.
If you, yeah, if you want to, you could supervise.
Are you trying to challenge me to a fire off? Do you want to have a fire off?
Can we have a fire off? I mean, I cannot volunteer.
Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Can you do it again right now? You can
do it
right
now. Okay. I'll do it right now.
All right, let's go. I help Tarragon take off her jacket.
I think I throw my head back and then let it erupt out of my mouth like a volcano.
Cadrin goes, that was a test. You are only supposed to use fire in controlled environments. It is not for a contest.
Wow. Actually, I get in her face and I say, actually, I was taking out some of the trees up top that are covering the ground so that I can make way for new ground growth.
Very responsible. I now respect you. You see, she looks around and you see... Whoosh, in several puffs of magic, more of these Cindersworn mages teleport in. You see they all wear the masks and red robes, but Cadrin, this person who introduced themselves as Cadrin, you see she has various like medals and her like shoulder pads are more pronounced. It looks like she is the leader. Mm. And you see the mood around the town instantly gets kind of weird and quiet after Tarragon burns this dude and all of these weird mages show up with masks. And Cadrin speaks over the crowd and goes,
who is in charge here? Where is King Wymer?
Oh, fuck.
King Wymer is
the Empire
not...
was supporting King Wymer.
Oh, King...
You see, Sir Reynard...
Yes, Jabari. Sir Reynard, yes.
Yes. Easy, Gallantuf.
He never gets off the horse.
Yes.
It's like a power play.
Sorry. I am Sir Reynard Wendell. I lead... the fallen King Wymer's forces, and which would make me tied for being in charge with Captain Captain Jabari, who leads the Toads.
They are not okay for official purposes. They are not the Toads. They are the the army of Thurston Brightly.
Technically, they are now Hexbloods.
Yes, also they are Hexblood Centurion.
That's right. Dry Hexblood, sir.
Why did you guys retain the dry thing? There's no reason for that to carry
something,
over.
A little bit of our past, a little bit of our future. Now we can grow.
I won't
do a hopping thing, then. You want to be a toad? Fuck it. Never mind.
Cadrin just looks kind of confused and goes, so Wymer is dead. Very well, you bunch will do. Follow me for your briefing. You see, she flicks her wrists and casts a spell that produces a small war tent that you see she enters without missing a step, like she doesn't even stop to cast it. And you see several of the other mages join her.
On the way in, I link arms on each side with Jabari and Corbo and do another emboldening bond because I don't know what kind of diplomacy we're going to fuck up in there.
Also, why not stay? Jabari thinks we should stay in this formation. I think it is powerful.
Okay, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, can we? Is the opening of the tent wide enough that we could all enter like this?
You see, Sir Reynard looks it up and down and he goes, I think so, but it's going to be hard for us to get all four in. Is this a four-person thing or is this kind of just a
I figured you were going to ride your horse in there, yeah. So I didn't know if you wanted to.
I was going
to
gallant hoof.
Yeah, Corbo, yes. put your arm around gallant hoof.
Okay.
All right.
Link arms with gallant hoof.
I link arms with the horse gallant
yes,
hoof.
Jabari and his friends are going to show the Cindersworn we mean business.
So you guys all together enter the tent holding onto this horse. As you guys cross the threshold of the tent, you see that this is some kind of illusory magic, and you are in a giant war room, as if in a castle. You see a map of the Empire on a large table in the center. You see bookcases with books and scrolls, candles, and maps crammed into the cubby holes, and you see braziers light the room. Cadrin looks out at you guys and goes,
We will be working in tandem from here on out to eliminate the threat of undeath. The High Queen has been concerned with the Petty King for some time. He has ignored our messages and hoarded Outerborough's wealth without paying his due to the Empire. We have contacts in court who warned us of Moxora's influence, and we began monitoring her. We knew a rebel king with the strength of a necromancer behind him was a danger to the Empire, but thought a forceful removal could be unpopular. Therefore, she was quietly backing Weimer's claim to the throne, supplying him with weapons and soldiers.
Very political, I see.
Very political indeed. If Weimer is dead, ultimately that's not what is important here. Moxora has played her hand, and the threat of the undead is clear. The people will not want another Pearl Hill. The Cindersworn are free to move to Harrenford to neutralize the threat. Moxora cannot hide behind polite politics anymore.
What? Okay, first off, what does neutralizing the threat mean?
Yes.
Would love to know a just kind of play-by-play that you intend to do to Harrenford.
Here's the play-by-play. You hear at all at the same time they go, the Cindersworn do not turn undead. We burn undead. We will do a controlled burn of everything behind the castle wall.
All right, so that doesn't sound like it's that controlled, does it? It sounds like that's kind of total destruction. Right?
What does your control? Because I love controlled burning. It can be good for plants and foliage and biodiversity. But I'm curious as to how you make the decision what burns.
Do you have concern for allies within the castle walls?
We have concern for the people of Harrenford for sure.
Yes.
The people of Harrenford beyond the castle walls will not be injured. We are very, very good at our jobs.
What about the cooks? What about the, men in waiting?
And what about the jester? There's a funny-ass jester in there.
There's a really he's just,
and the
jester.
Court musician who plays for Jabari every morning.
Oh, his shit bangs.
While I do my burpees. What of him?
You hear they're trying to whisper to each other, but they're all talking in really loud robot voices and just going, what about the funny-ass jester? There's apparently a funny jester. Okay. And you see... Cadrin looks back up at you guys after talking to some of her people privately and goes,
then you will aid in an evacuation of the innocents within the castle walls?
I nod, but I'm looking to Corbo and Jabari to be like, yes, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, Jabari is much better at murder than evacuations, but I'm sure that Jabari and his friends can figure it out.
Yeah, Jabari is really good at murder, but I think we could work with this. I think we could evacuate.
That's so interesting. I'm really good at murder too.
Oh. Right, it seems like everybody's really good at murder, so we got to have somebody that's down to step up for the saving.
May I, Cindersworn? May I refer to my close associates in with a degree of privacy? I want to speak of a bit of intel that is sensitive.
Can we? Yeah, we'll back out of the tent, all arms linked, just briefly. Yes.
Very well.
So is it okay?
You stay and talk to these people.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
I'll just stay
in here with these people who want to burn everything.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good place for you.
All right.
So we back without looking over our shoulders.
You guys walk out of the tent. Sweet, you guys are out of the tent.
Jabari, Corbo, they are going after just a puppet. We know that the Moxora in there isn't the real Moxora. Is this information that we should share with them?
Very interesting.
I'm feeling very conflicted.
Well, Jabari thinks... Jabari's first thought is that we should. Why not? What is it that we are worried about if we share with them the information that Jabari and his friends have?
Are we telling the Empire about the existence of groves, and is it going to make them curious how someone was able to manipulate the power of the groves, and will they walk down that path themselves?
And even going after one of the puppets in Harrenford, are our friends that live within castle walls in danger? Are we helping them, even if we're not defeating the true enemy?
This is much too heavy for Jabari. Jabari deals in life and death. This political stuff is much too much for Jabari.
It's very political. But you shoulder it
well, Jabari. If you feel overwhelmed, you're still really shouldering it well.
You make Jabari feel very good.
I think as I mull it over in my head, I think that my opinion is that we should let them take out the puppets in the castle, but maybe not disclose this information.
Jabari agrees. Jabari likes that we keep that, at least for the moment. Especially since we have not seen the Cinder Swarm and how they intend to handle Moxora, that we keep that for ourselves.
And selfishly, I want that final kill for ourselves, too.
Oh, that as well!
No, there's another thing.
Jabari did not
want to
say it. Jabari did not want to say it.
We are all selfish.
That's our mother.
That's our mom. Nobody kills our mom. Nobody kills our mom but us.
He's like, nobody kills our mom but us. Okay.
We kill our mom.
Anyways, hopefully we didn't shout this too loud. Let's information back into the tent.
All of the Cindersworn are talking way too loud in there, just about casual stuff, but being way too glad to ever hear what you're saying. Anyway, she was wearing Crocs. It was weird. They look so comfortable, though. But you guys do know, even with your passive insight, kind of as you guys talk through this plan and wondering whether or not you should tell the Cindersworn, it doesn't make a huge difference because the king is kind of like Gideon here, right? He's still this powerful undead dude. Moxora is still a powerful form of Merowyn. Mm-hmm. They still occupy the castle of Harrenford. He is still the king of Harrenford. Having these people all there is still a liability. You know what I mean? So even if she's not the true end all be all.
Yeah, I think it was just like trying to decide. I was just trying to decide whether or not it's like wrong for us to not share that information, to not share that this is just a puppet. And I'm going to decide that it's okay to not share it.
Sweet.
Cool. Hi, Cindersworn. We're back.
Hey there.
Hey there, Cindersworn.
Hey there, Cindersworn.
Hello, Hexbloods. What have you decided?
I think we've decided we would love the opportunity to do a controlled evacuation before you do a controlled raising of the castle.
Yes.
It's settled then.
And if you do need any help with the killing eventually, like after everybody's out, we're available for that as well.
All at once, everybody says, the Cindersworn do not need help from anyone.
All right.
You have not seen Jabari.
Except to evacuate people, we get to do the cool stuff.
All right. Okay, I feel like you all are like living a life that we were living. And I just want to say, like, have you ever all hugged each other, done a closed loop hug?
A closed loop? You see, they all look around at each other confused.
You mean like with your arms?
Yes, yeah. It's like you hug all the way so that you, I know, you cannot
to,
see behind
to perform
you
a ritual
side.
Where you all stand around and you hold hands so that you can burn something
not quite
in the
a
middle.
Ritual, but it does something. It does do something. It does something to your inside.
It's like an instinctual ritual.
Very
that
well.
Is living inside of all of us and we feel compelled to do.
Fascinating.
You might understand in 100 years. You just let it marinate for 100 years or so.
Right. Well, if you will evacuate the civilians and guards, then we will be safe to level Moxora's stronghold with as few casualties as possible.
Civilians and guards and jesters and bards.
Yes.
We're on it.
Yes.
Are you a jester yourself?
Excuse me?
Is that an insult here? I didn't realize.
He really hates bards.
Oh my God. But you love jesters?
They're hilarious.
Okay.
I could never do what they
Got
do.
Got it. But you hate singers. Fascinating. Well, we will have to move quickly. I'm sure word will spread fast that Moxora's attempt here did not work, so we will need to strike Harrenford before she can raise another army, and we will need to contain the undeath that she can spread.
Right.
Okay.
So I will leave with the three of you, the four of you.
Looks at Sir Reynard and he goes, not much of a sneaky guy. She nods, looks back.
He is on a horse, even in the tent.
Yeah, sorry about that. You see, she looks at you guys.
Right, then the three of you. We will travel together. I will set up a teleportation circle. You will send the evacuees to me, and I will get them out of there. Soon as sunrise hits, so too does the fireballs of a dozen Cindersworn. Burn the undead, not turn the undead. We are the Cindersworn.
We are the Cindersworn.
Very, very nice.
Wait, who is that one person that just started?
No, we just say all together, we say we burn the undead, we do not turn the undead. Nobody says we are the Cindersworn. We are the Cindersworn. Sorry, that was our old one.
Who is that?
Who was that? That was Ray. Ray, cut it out, man.
I gotta be honest, your team is kind of falling apart.
Your team is falling apart. One of your guys says he's not a sneak guy.
Don't be afraid to share more, Ray. You know?
Also, Ray, if you're ever looking for a new team, Jabari and the Hexbloods are always recruiting. So yeah.
We are the Cindersworn. We stick together, even when we don't agree on what we're supposed to say.
Damn, that's the kind of guy we need on our team.
That's not
too.
A good line, Ray. Shut up,
Ray.
Okay.
I am starting to think, though, the Hexbloods need some kind of slogan like that. Like, what's our bumper sticker?
Yes, the thing
that's
that
true.
We can all say together in unison.
Yeah, we'll think on that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, then the three of us, the four of us, rather.
And my dog, if you don't mind. Lake.
scared of Lake?
What?
You are scared?
I'm a cat person. Lake. Leave me alone.
Oh, come on.
Oh, she's harmless.
Shall we head to Harrenford, and I will set up our teleportation circle, and at sunrise we shall do our fiery work.
Can you keep up with Jabari and his friends?
Can I keep up with fire? Do you want to run there? I'll teleport by myself and you run there?
Oh, you teleport.
I teleport, yes.
You teleport. Yes.
I guess teleporting is always going to win the race, but, you know,
agreed.
Does it feel good to wear the medal for that? Does
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Jabari wonders, you know, where is the character in teleporting?
We take off running. After Jabari says that, oh, that's a really good last line. Everyone, go.
Let's go on then. Yeah,
as you go to run, she throws out like an arcane net that envelops you and teleports all of you guys. And you teleport and you arrive behind the castle wall in the dead of night. You feel the cold wind blow. You see that there are various bonfires and braziers lighting up different areas of the area around the castle. It's almost like a village back here. Like there are laborers and there are some people who live and work back here, servants' quarters and whatnot. It is dark where you guys have arrived. Cadrin has picked a good place. You see you are near a large grate that leads into a sewer pipe that flows beyond the wall.
When we arrive, I think three of us kind of round up. Yes. Who is there? You know, just bringing it up with you, Jabari, we're not bringing the king, right?
No, I think
okay, good. Didn't want to make that decision on our feet, you know.
No, it's good it's good to think about these things ahead of time and to talk it out before, you know, we're in the heat of the moment. I love that new thing that we're doing.
The other thing that I'll say is I don't know that I totally trust the Cindersworn to just throw a bunch of evacuees into their teleportation circle. Does that cross anyone's mind? I'm fine to be paranoid. It's just, you know, ever since the blood ritual, I'm just questioning everyone we
what
meet.
What we say yes to needs to be, we need to ask a few more questions.
You see Cadrin points a finger and does a controlled blast of red hot energy that melts the grate around the entrance to the sewer, and she goes,
I will set up a teleportation circle around the edge of the sewer. Anyone who runs through it will be transported to Pearl Hill. Direct them to me, and I will get them to safety.
Can I do an insight check just on that?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't even need to do an insight check to know that it's a little fucked up that we're evacuating through the sewer. You didn't, like, tell us that ahead of time. You were just like, you guys want to evacuate, and now I'm crawling around the mud.
Would you rather do it surrounded by enemies in the middle of the camp? Would you like me to start doing my very slow spell surrounded by? Would you want me to do it in the middle of the barracks? Is that how the Hexbloods work?
I feel like sewer should have been mentioned early.
Poetically evacuating in the place in which human evacuations is, I can kind of see where you're going. I get the metaphor you're doing.
I didn't even think about it like that. And that's
yes,
actually
it was a pun. I knew you guys liked jesters.
That's
so.
Jester level good.
Yes.
And I'm not even upset anymore. That's funny.
Okay, well, you wait here and we will go.
Very well. I will begin to cast my spell. Did you want to do an insight check?
I did. I got a 16.
A 16? It is very, very hard to get a read on these people. One thing you kind of take notice of, the way that the plan was brought up, invited you to volunteer to evacuate the people. So the question is that to put you in danger, or is that to save people without asking for it?
I relay that information to Jabari and Corbo the second we're out of earshot.
Oh, wow.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Here is how this is going to work. The area behind the castle wall here is going to be divided up into three sections. There's an area where the laborers are, where you could go like visit like a blacksmith or something, and where some of the people who don't live in the castle but maybe work at the castle might live. There's a couple dozen people there. There's the barracks, which is where Jabari was living, which is a slightly bigger building that is very a lot more militaristic, obviously. There's more guards and knights there. And then there's the castle itself, which has two levels.
I say we start with the laborers, right?
Agreed.
They're the most likely to be completely innocent.
Yes. Jabari also wonders how much the castle knows that the prophet Gideon is dead, and if Maxora has already started sowing her seeds of doubt that we are good and are, you know, whether or not people will trust us. And I feel like we can get a sense of that by talking to the laborers.
You're right. Should we go? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's great. Let's start with the laborers.
Sweet. So you head towards where you know a lot of the laborers to live. You see a cluster of huts and small homes with thatched roofs. You can see the glow of fire in some of them. It is very late, but it is, you know, providing heat. There is a smithy nearby with an outdoor forge and anvils. The shop itself is closed up, but it looks like there's some candlelight in the apartment above. You see that there are two guards on patrol, these sort of lesser guards. Doesn't look like it's anybody really in command. If they were to yell or something, there could be more people with earshot, but these are the people that would see you if you were to fuck up big time trying to get into a house or something.
All right.
Maybe we should try to just speak with one of these guards to sort of know if they're on alert for us or not. If we just show up to one of these guards, we might see their reaction.
Yes. And Jabari, you know, if someone needs to be,
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Murder's on the table. Don't worry, Jabari.
Of course, Jabari will try to knock somebody out.
Well, let's keep that one. A number one, top of mind. We're still evacuating. We're already making excuses to get to the murder.
Evacuating.
Right.
1B.
I think it should be 2. I think it should be behind.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say 1B is doing it safely. And then we start a whole new bullet point for murder. Yeah.
Why not 1C? Jabari wonders, why not 1C? It's still underneath everything important. It's just not knocked all the way down.
You know what? Jabari, I can't say no to you. It's 1C. Okay? Murder's 1C. Oh,
come on.
Murder's
all right. 1C. Fine. It's 1C, but that's really far down. All right?
Yes, in our order, but it's still number one.
It is right below doing it safely.
This is why I asked.
Shall we approach them together, or?
I think we should stealth up just to one of these guards, right?
Okay.
Great.
Guys, go ahead and give me stealth checks. I'll say you guys wait until, I'll say you see them talking to each other for a sec. Then they separate. One kind of rounds a corner with his torch, and you guys try to sneak up on him. He will do a perception check.
I just crit, baby.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Natural 18 over here.
Sweet.
I got a 19.
He got a 16. He did not see anybody. He is walking around the corner, kind of just going about his job kind of lazily.
I guess we got to kind of just, I guess I hide in the corner and I go, psst.
Go ahead and psst. Give me a persuasion check.
17.
Okay. You see, he looks confused. You managed.
I think I'm doing like the Assassin's Creed, like hiding in some foliage.
Okay. So you're hiding in some foliage. You say, psst. You hear, who is that?
Guys, do you want to engage with this guy, or do we want to? I feel like he's a litmus test, right? That's kind of what we're doing.
Jabari's going to uncomfortably stand up, just like slowly rise out of the grass.
So he sees fucking Jabari Hightower suddenly just like Homer Simpson just appears out of the bushes, and the guy just goes
It's all right.
Captain Jabari.
Yeah. Hey.
Captain Jabari, what are you doing here? Wasn't there a battle? Weren't you marching on Pearl Hill?
We have marched on Pearl Hill. Jabari wonders, has word reached the castle about the nature of the events at Pearl Hill?
You see, he looks excited, and he shakes his head, and he goes, no, what happened? Did we stick it to Weimar? Did you take him out for us?
Indeed, we stuck it to Weimar. Jabari's friend Tarragon deftly struck him, and we were certain of his death. However,
it was really cool.
It was amazing.
It was an awesome time. Yeah,
really cool. Yeah, you see, I'll say it's like this, like 16-year-old guard who just like feels cool for hanging out with the explodes. Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds awesome.
We're back. It was impressive.
Yeah, I actually unleashed some fire today for the first time.
Oh, you should have seen it. It was crazy. She burned she burned someone. And actually, that's kind of what we wanted to talk about.
That,
who
that's
is the
what
person.
We're here for.
Okay.
Yes. So, I think that you probably know, but the king is in danger. We need to evacuate you and the other laborers.
Yes, the castle has been infiltrated by others, and they are watching, so we must quietly move people away from the city.
I thought you said we won at Pearl Hill. Why are there infiltrators? Why are there people in the castle? Why are we in danger?
They are magical, and Jabari is nervous that they will use their magical powers if they know that we are back. So we need to move everyone safely out of here so that Jabari and his friends can stick it to the infiltrators, much like we stuck it to Weimar in the cool way. Yes?
Oh, yeah.
It was super cool when we did it. Yes?
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check, and I'll say you can do it with advantage because you got your friends here.
I mean, thank God, because it's a minus one.
oh, boy.
A 16.
A 16. This kid looks nervous, and he goes, I should probably talk to one of the officers at the barracks about this, unless it's a command from you, Captain Jabari, in which
it's
case...
It's a command from Captain Jabari. You... What is your name?
Hardor, sir.
You, Hardor, are receiving a command from Captain Jabari himself.
Damn, that's an honor.
Because Captain Jabari trusts you.
Wow, you heard about me.
I did, yes. How you...
What did you hear,
well,
sir?
Yesterday, right? When you were on patrol.
Yes.
And you were doing...
We heard about that trick that you do with your sword. You show us that thing.
Yeah,
will you
show us the trick you do with your sword on patrol yesterday?
Starts doing that weird back and forth thing that people try to do with lightsabers where they like twist their wrists, but it doesn't look that cool, but the person thinks
it
looks cool.
Wow, that's really cool.
I like the noises
that's
you make
cool.
with your mouth while you do it, too. That adds a lot of flavor.
Swoosh, swoosh, yes. Swoosh, swoosh.
We need that sort of initiative to perform this action safely.
I'll gather people up. Where are we heading?
Gather people up and then, fuck me. I don't want to send them to this fucking teleportation circle.
What if we just tell them to go wait by the sewer and we go through first? We'll be the first ones to step through the portal.
Love it. Go wait by the sewer. I know that is not the most fun thing to hear.
That's where the shit is.
That's where
the shit hits the fan.
Right.
It's a metaphor.
But it is where people evacuate, so it does make sense that you would evacuate.
Physically and metaphorically, yes.
Okay.
There are layers, yes.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Okay.
And then can you point us in the direction of your officers?
Yes, they're at the barracks.
Oh.
Just remember, don't go shouting these orders around. We got it. This is all very, very undercover, all right?
Right.
The people that have infiltrated that we are trying to save everyone from are inside, so we're trying to get everyone. So we're going to go see your officers next, and they're going to do their thing, okay?
Is it okay if I tell Gilbert? Because Gilbert is on duty over here with me.
Tell Gilbert, tell Sullivan,
Gilbert's
tell
cool.
tell all the other guards.
You see, he nods, he salutes, and you see he runs off and starts conferring with the other guard, who looks a little confused at first, but then he gestures to you guys, like, over in the bushes.
Hey.
He sees the a light wave from Jabari.
I put my plague doctor mask on, and I nod my beak.
Yeah, the dude was, like, going through and, like, counting, like, that's Tarragon, that's Jabari. Oh, Corbo the Crow.
I turn profile. He gets it.
And you see they quietly begin going into the homes and warning people.
Great.
Okay.
I think Jabari reverse homers just slowly back down into the grass. I think Jabari thinks we are doing well.
We didn't really need to sneak, but I crit, and I really wanted to use
damn
my
right,
crit.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, should we head to the barracks?
Yeah.
Yes, and it seems that to Jabari that Maxora has not spread word of the defeat of Prophet Gideon. So, I mean, of course we should still be careful, but that does feel like it is in Jabari and his friend's interest.
Right.
Let's do it.
So you guys continue sneaking. And you head to the barracks, and you see next to these stables where all the horses are kept, you see the barracks, like a small...
Oh, we gotta free the horses.
Like a small keep of its own. There are four pillars around the stone building. Out in the yard, there are various practice dummies and areas for sparring. You see holding torches are several guards out here. You see that there are two guards that are sort of these lower level footmen, but you see one commander and one full knight speaking to each other. This seems to be like the commander on duty right now. There's not a ton of people out. It is late at night.
Can we sneak up and overhear their conversation and then hypothetically sneak away and then just, if the conversation is you know, benign, then we'll just walk up towards them.
You can hear that it's benign. You hear that they're just people who were left behind to guard the castle and are a little insulted that they didn't get to, like, go to battle for the glory of Outerborough.
Okay. Let's walk up.
We're doing no stealth. Jabari and his friends are just going to go say hi.
You know, when we stealth before, I thought it was pretty weird to come out of stealth.
Like, hey, guy. Yes, it's like,
yeah, just got to go right up and say, hey, hey, officers.
Exactly. Yeah. And
hey, officers.
Hey, officers. And we'll execute plan 1C if need be.
Let's one A and 1B.
1B,
Well, we that's do the 1 order. A and we do 1B, and if they do not work, we do 1C.
Yeah.
I will say this. Jabari, go ahead and give me an insight check.
You got it.
Because he knows the more people around the
castle. That's a 27.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
Jabari.
Tell me your secrets, Murph.
You do know that this officer here, this commander, is one of these Weimer types that, like, doesn't trust, like, the Hexbloods or is, like, jealous of their legacy. So is one of these by-the-books commanders that probably honestly got left behind and not used in battle because he's not that good and is kind of a stubborn dumbass.
Damn.
And let's just go right up but have our hands on our... on our hands, which are our weapons. Except for Jabari, have your hands on your weapons.
Yes, and Tarragon, please, if you can, do the talking. Jabari is not...
Okay, I will. I'll come. I'm going
Jabari
forward.
Will back you up with his authority, but Jabari would prefer not to... Jabari is scared.
Okay,
yes.
Absolutely. Hey, officers.
Sweet. You see, this commander's name is Kavak. You see, as you approach, the guards, like, hold their torches up to kind of, like, light your faces. The commander looks down on you from atop his horse and goes, Hexbloods, Jabari, have you fled the battle? What happened?
Excuse me.
No, the battle's over. Yeah.
Yes.
We've heard no news here. What do you mean the battle's over? Have you abandoned your posts?
No, okay. We haven't. We
have
killed
to stop
Weimer,
with that assumption.
And now there are other posts to be filled, okay, buddy? So actually, we're fucking working overtime. You're welcome for fucking pulling a graveyard shift. Anyways, I got a dragon living inside me. If you're not careful, he's going to come out.
Pearl Hill's half a day's ride away. How did you get here?
We are the Hexbloods.
Oh, I'm sorry. Also, people don't normally live to be 107, and here we are. So I guess we just defy logic, huh? Anyways. The castle's in danger, and we're here to evacuate it.
He laughs and goes, if there was danger, surely I would know about it.
Wait, you're knowing about it now because we're telling you about it. So if you...
But certainly I would know about it before you.
You know what, buddy? I gotta be honest. I'm not super concerned about you. You're a little bit agitating me. But if you could just respect that your troops are in danger and have the good management sense to at least evacuate them, I'll go ahead and let you stay here.
Listen, what is your name? I know
Jurgen Snake.
I'm going to grab him. I'm going to grab him off his horse. I'm going to grab him off his horse and pull him down to the ground.
Okay, everybody roll initiative. Full combat yet.
I just
crit again?
Let's go.
Sweet.
Damn.
It is not full combat yet, but everybody's going to need to do things on their turns.
25.
21.
Good God.
11.
You see Jabari goes and grabs this dude, goes to pull him off his horse. Jabari, go ahead and give me a athletics check.
Oh, please don't mess this up.
Come on, Jabari.
That's going to be a 12.
He passes. So you see Jabari goes to grab him. This dude is already on high alert, goes, whoa, pulls the kind of horse back. You see the guards go to pull their swords. You see two guards, a knight, and this Commander Kavak. This other knight looks like is probably the commander's like lackey, but these two guards look conflicted because Jabari lives in the barracks. Yeah, you see, as this happening, one of the guards is like, Captain Jabari, no! Just like so sad, doesn't understand what's going on, thinks maybe you guys are betraying them or something like that. So there is this conflict, but this commander dude looks like he's going for his sword. Tarragon, you are first.
Okay, the commander dude's going for his sword. These people are watching. I'm not going to fucking fight the commander dude in front of these people. I'm going to shout to them and say, not shout, say it's, I'm going to do a stage whisper to them and say, the castle is in danger. Evacuate the barracks. Lead who you can to the sewage system.
You hear the commander goes, nonsense. Again, if the castle was in danger, I would know about it. Go ahead and give me a contested persuasion check, Tarragon.
18.
Okay. He gets a 16 on his persuasion check. So you see these two guards salute Tarragon.
Oh, hell yeah.
I promise I personally will not hurt your commander here. If you like him, just get everyone out of here. I really don't care about this guy. I just care about getting everyone out of here. And then can I use an action still?
Yes.
Can I use my innkeeper's magic and cast Unseen Servant and send a servant to untie the horses and make sure the horses get away?
Yeah, certainly.
I just like a little like whiff of smoke comes from my hand and then disappears and then it's goes to
Did you tell it to bring the horses to the sewer?
I kind of feel like the horses can fend for themselves.
After a moment, you just hear a stable boy go, oh no! And you just see a bunch of horses just running off so fast. Jabari, that is your turn.
Great. So I reach out for this guy. He like rears up, gets away from me. That's fine. It's not what Jabari wanted, but it's what Jabari puts his hands up, looks at this commander and says, Commander Kavak, Jabari apologizes for attempting to put his hands on you, but you must know that this is Tarragon Snakefruit, and the only reason there is an outer borough for you to fucking defend is because of her and this man, Corbo Babino. Do not forget their names. Now, you have a choice. Your two guards have decided that they are going to follow her wise words and save the good people of this barracks. You now have a choice if you would like to support them or be knocked out and have Jabari drag your life, your unconscious corpse.
That's right.
Big.
1A, 1B. Very nice.
Unconscious, really big.
Living body to the sewage system. Your decision right now.
You see that normally going up and calling out a commander like this, you might have them just like start shouting and getting their other knights and stuff. You know for a fact, you know, a majority of the king's troops are gone. So this dude kind of looks around, was talking a big game, sees two guards already go. Now him and his buddy are outnumbered. And whether or not he wants to be a dick to you, he is aware of how strong you are. So go ahead and make your intimidation check.
Oh, man. Oh, thank God. That's going to be a natural 18 minus 1 plus 4 for 21.
Nice. He looks taken aback. Kind of like looks back at the barracks, sees there's not a lot of light on in there. There's not a lot of troops here at the moment to defend. And you see he kind of sheepishly goes, this order comes directly from the king to evacuate. Right. This was from the king specifically?
It might as well have been.
It is, though. Was it? Yes. Right? From the king?
A king gave the word.
But there's no reason to get lost in the nuance. Someone in charge of you just gave you that order, all right?
Right, yeah. Okay. Direct right. Orders from the king.
From the guy in charge of you. Either way, yes. You want to square it, that's fine. However,
quietly to the sewers, everyone. And you see this dude rides off kind of scared and leaves it to his little flunky to kind of go in the barracks and start rousing the other people.
All right.
All right. So the barracks are taken care of, right?
Yep. So it would seem.
Is that okay. Is the barracks where the Hexbloods stuff is?
Yeah.
Jabari says, can we make just one stop, please?
Yeah.
It'll be quick, very quick.
It's hard to think, right? Because we have so many good memories here. And are we just going to let people come through and burn this all down?
Well, if that's the case, then let's walk through the old hall one last time.
Just one last time.
You guys walk through the barracks, and this one place that was once the home to only the Hexbloods, you guys, Corbeau and Tarragon, see that it has changed so much. It used to be much more kind of bare bones. And now you see, you know, like armor lining the wall and things like that. There's a lot more equipment. You see a lot more banners and kind of finery, sort of the accoutrement that would come with a knight of Outerborough. And when you guys were here, it was a stone building. And you guys all slept on cots and just like trained all the time. Can I see
what kind of beds that these knights were sleeping on?
Oh, this thing better not be soft. I'm gonna feel this mattress.
They do have some feather mattresses.
Look how much give this dang cot has. Is this a double cot? I never seen it. It's like two
this
cots
put together.
This is the
kind of bed that you sleep in. Yes. That you sleep in on.
This is not the kind of cot that you have a bucket of water splashed on you to get you up and back to running around. This is not. This is a you wake up on your own time kind of
what,
cot. Hey,
Jabari, what's this thing at the head of the bed with this kind of like squishy little cube thing? I'm trying
Jabari
to understand.
Jabari hates those because but that they call it a palau, and it's
a palau.
A palau.
It goes right on top of the bed. And what do? Put it on the floor when it's time to sleep?
Is it decorative?
Underneath their head. Jabari does not understand what the point
underneath.
Is. It's like, why not just let your head down? But I guess it's comfortable. I guess that's something
you're talking like the jester in the castle right now.
I thought it was, Jabari thought it was one of his jokes. But no, they all have them.
Maybe I'll try it. We'll see. All right.
So save one palau for each of
one
us, palau. I guess.
We can all take a turn.
You guys grab a palau. And yeah, you see Jabari's room, which Jabari has kept very much the same. And you do see that on the floor near his cot are two other cots that are still kept pristine.
You know, I might be sentimental, but I think we gotta bring the cots. Call me a sentimental old bag, but I think we gotta bring the cots.
I know we're trying to stealth out of this castle and through a sewer, but I'm sorry, I'm not doing it without my cot.
Okay, Jabari had the same thought, and that is why Jabari insisted we come here. We slept on these cots for 75 years.
I know.
They're still good.
I know. All right. I grab my cot. I throw it over my shoulder.
I also grab my cot.
Yeah, these things are compact. They have fold up.
Yeah, you guys.
I grab my cot.
You guys roll your cots up, put it in your packs.
Okay, to the castle. Yes?
Okay, to the castle.
Here's one thing you guys would know about the castle. The castle is going to be a little bit tighter security-wise. Moxora has been keeping this place on lockdown. No one visits the castle unless she wants it to happen, and normal guards and staff can't even go up to the second floor, like where the king is. So everything has to go through her or the king or one of her trusted advisors. So you guys sneak to the castle, and you see Jackalope Keep. There are red and gold banners of the Brightleap family hanging down from the second story. You see atop the castle walls, there are two crossbowmen patrolling. And in front of the open archway of the door, you see two knights standing under torches, and you see two more patrolling. And these are full-fledged knights. These are not scared new recruits.
But our vibe is that we want to evacuate them.
I mean, it is up to you guys who you want to evacuate. But these dudes are not going to listen to you by default. But there are lords and stuff inside the castle who outrank the knights, who can boss the knights around.
From Jabari's time in the castle, like, would he know who's kind of like the most susceptible to our charms?
So Jabari would know
that there is a guy named Lord Murthel who stays in the guest quarters in the castle, and he is one of the only holdovers of the king's council from a while ago, because Moxora has kind of packed it with people who are sympathetic to her cause. Lord Murthel is not a, you know, like, strong ally and, like, you know, great person who supports Thurston Brightleap, more like somebody who was willing to go along with Moxora's stuff. Just kind of a rich coward. Mm. He is somebody who could boss around knights or invite people into the castle.
Okay, I am going to cast Sending and send a message to him and tell him, hi, it's Terrigan Sneakeru, Corbo Babino, and Jabari the Safari. Meet us at just outside the castle. The castle is in danger.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check.
Nat 1, so I'm going to reroll that because I'm
wow, lucky.
24.
Oh, hell yeah.
You hear his voice in your head.
Why are you requesting a private audience with me at this time at night using strange magics? Does the king know you're here?
Can I respond?
What does the spell say?
I think I can just recognize and can answer in a like manner immediately. But okay. I don't think that
you hear him. It does not sound like he's going to just come running out of the castle. The high persuasion check, it seems like he's a little intrigued, whereas had you rolled very poorly, might have run and gone and told somebody.
Oh, all right.
Well,
all right then. God bless. RIP to that third level spell. Okay. All right then. I guess.
Shall we go speak that was my to him idea. In person?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Jabari thinks we should stealth him.
Yeah, we should. It'll cause a commotion if we come back. People are going to want to know. People are going to have questions.
Sweet. Okay. So you guys see there are 6 people out here. I will say the crossbowmen are kind of patrolling. So you guys wait for a clear moment. See those 2 guys go away. It's just the 4 knights now. Go ahead and give me stealth checks.
I rolled a 28.
Jesus Christ.
Stealth is +5. So that's a 17 for Jabari.
I got an 18.
Okay.
Yikes.
You guys go to slip in. Tarragon, like a shadow, slinks into the archway. But you see you guys are illuminated by a knight's torch as he turns around at the most inopportune time. And you just hear like a, intruders! Guys, go ahead and roll initiative.
They
have not called their friends yet or anything. They will act on their turn.
All right. It's a 24.
18.
That's going to be a 15 for Jabari.
Corbo, you are first.
Oh, God damn it. We got... Can I do like some kind of insight? Like how... Are they posturing like we're getting into a fight no matter what? Or
these guys would know who the Hexbloods are. You guys sneaking in is very strange. They will try to grab you and kick you out or arrest you. If you don't try to kill them, they probably wouldn't try to kill you.
Okay.
So that's your turn, Corbo. You see Tarragon sneaks in and continues sneaking.
Shh. I hold up a little finger to my mouth.
All right.
And when I say the shh, a little bit of smoke comes out.
That's cool. I look right at Jabari. I'm like, did you see that?
Your buddy saw that.
She's back, man. I don't know what else to tell you. She's back. All right. So I'm just going to raise my hands up at the knights and say, I'm not your enemy. I'm not here to fight you, okay? It doesn't have to go south. Just hear us out.
Why are you sneaking in the shadows, Corbo the Crow?
Because this castle's in danger. It's been compromised. We can't walk through the door because we don't know what's going on inside.
You shouldn't know what's going on inside. We're the guards here. You should be outside the castle. We should be inside the castle. That's how guarding something works. Why are you sneaking in here?
Because I'm trying to tell you guys that something bad is happening in the castle. And if you guys are
like
good,
a Hexblood sneaking in? Weren't you supposed to be with the troops at Pearl Hill?
It's a really long story, and if you're down to chat it out, I'm excited because I think we're gonna have a really meaningful conversation. So
Jabari, you see the two dudes with crossbows kind of come back from the patrol. You see one of the knights down here kind of like holds his torch up to signal to them. You see they hold their crossbows to you. You see there's a little bit of a scene now. You see the four knights here all kind of like, they're not going fully aggro right now. They all have their hands on their swords and just look kind of confused. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and cut on over to Tarragon. You enter hearing Corvo kind of trying to buy time behind you as you just hear like more kind of just like people gather around. It's almost like a fight is about to happen, but you sneak in. It's this big open room lit by only some dim braziers. There's an echo of wind through the room. There are a few guards and servants milling about, but not many. You are able to sneak past them. It has been a long time since you've really traveled around the castle here, but you are aware of where like guests and diplomats and people would stay and have an idea of where like Lord Myrthil would be. And you actually see your message has kind of piqued his interest, not enough that he would go out on his own, but you see this older man, very skinny, kind of like one of these nobles who is sticking his nose up. You see he's holding one of these little candle holders and is wearing silk pajamas. And you just catch a glimpse of him opening the door and kind of looking out in the hall, looking like concerned. Like, is someone watching me? Is someone doing mind control on me? What is going on out here?
I like pat my head in the crook of, in the gap of the door. Hi.
What are you doing here?
Okay. The castle has been compromised. It is going to be attacked. I am here as part of an evacuation crew to try to get as many people to safety as possible before that happens. I know that you hold clout with the knights and the guards, and I need you, for their sake, for the sake of all the servants in here, to go rally people to evacuate to the sewers. I know, I ended on the word sewers.
The sewers? That doesn't sound fun. Disgusting.
I know, it's off. It sounds gross.
Do you see my PJs?
I promise, I see your PJs.
Yes.
You know what?
The sewers.
Gonna go ahead.
Disgusting.
I know.
Saving all of the servants? Why? You want me to just crawl through the sewers with a bunch of guards? Ew.
Yeah, cool. Shut the fuck up. Whoa. Here's the thing. I have a dragon dormant inside of me. As I say this, my dragon eyes are like glittering gold. Smoke is pouring out of my nostrils. And if you want to live, if you want the people that you love to live, if you want the life that you love to continue as it is, you will gather the servants respectfully and you will take them, the guards, the knights, to the sewers, at which point you will be spared my wrath.
Go ahead and give me an intimidation check.
It's going to be a 19 on the die. Wow. I'm already proficient in intimidation, so that's 26. I'll go ahead and roll my bond. I got a 4.
Damn.
I have soiled my PJs.
Good. They're going to get worse.
Very well, but only because it was my idea. I think it's a splendid idea that you've presented.
No, you know what? Now you're on this train. We're not getting off this track. You're going to tell everyone it was my idea.
It's your idea.
It was a good idea. And you're afraid of me.
I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of everything, everyone. We need to evacuate. Everyone get out. I need every guard, every...
And you know what? You see that little night shawl you're wearing? You're going to put that in a pile of mud so that the servants don't have to get mud on their feet.
I'm going to lay down in the sewer so every servant, guard, and knight steps on me and I have to literally eat shit. I'm going to literally stick my face in some sewage and eat a piece of shit.
She didn't even ask you to do that.
And I'm going to like it.
You see this lord rushes out, doesn't get ready, doesn't bring anything with him, just like scrambling out. Corbo and Jabari. Corbo, what are you saying to these guards and knights right now? You see like another half dozen come over and are just surrounding you guys.
Just zoom out and start at the beginning. It's not about what you're guarding the castle. It's about who you're guarding it from. You understand? And what you're guarding it from is already inside. So what do? You got to guard your lives by evacuating. And you have to guard the lives of the townsfolk by evacuating them. Do you understand? Do you follow?
You see, suddenly, Lord Murthel comes running out in his silk pajamas. And he goes like, "We're evacuating! Everyone, tell all of your little underlings and everyone we're getting out."
I gave you a heads up. There was something going on inside.
There's a problem inside, and we're going. We are leaving now. We are evacuating immediately. These are direct orders from the king. The king told me.
You see, these knights look skeptical, but at this point, they've been cut off from the king. They've been being given strange orders for months now. So you see, they just kind of murmur amongst each other, and you see one who looks to be in charge kind of signals for the others to go off with the Lord. They begin making their way. You see the officer goes back in to start clearing out the castle. Lord Murthel had been yelling, so most people are already alerted. You see people are clearing out. One kind of strange thing is, as this is happening, there is like a full-on scene. Like, this dude was just like kind of running out shouting. There's no response from like the king or Moxora or anything.
I think it's really I come out, I look kind of guilty and just say, "I had to get really mean in there."
Oh, your buddy cannot believe he missed that. You can't.
I just got really nasty. I feel like I got like a hangover from like being really mean.
It looked like that guy was crying a little bit.
He was crying from every orifice, if that makes sense.
Wow. Your body is every upset.
Damn.
To not see the dragon in full form. I mean, honestly, it is, Jabari is glad you did what you did when you did, because Jabari was seconds away from executing plan 1C.
I knew 1C was Corbo lurking.
Jabari hates to say it, but it felt like you were losing him. Just like a little bit.
The speech that I was giving, it felt like 1C was my priority, too. I don't know what was going on. I was nervous.
But
I had stage fright.
Oh, you will get it back.
So here's the question is, like, do we go check on if the king is here or not, or do we just go check on all these people that we just sent?
Well, everyone has been shouting, and it doesn't seem like there's been any sort of, Jabari is confused.
Yeah, guys, even with your passive insight, Jabari, you would know generally the amount of people that are in the castle day to day. All of the people who have evacuated are all from the first floor.
I want to look outside and see if there's anyone coming for the castle right now.
You do not see anybody coming towards the castle.
So we can assume that there are people on the second floor hold up, not necessarily that they're just waiting to kill everybody that we sent over to the sewer. That's what I'm worried about.
That is also what your buddy is worried about.
Okay.
I mean,
so, well, first thing, maybe we just got to look upstairs, and if they're there, then we did something good, and if that's empty, then we have to haul ass to the sewer very quickly.
Should we split up and send someone to go look to go check out the sewer, or should we just go straight to the sewer right now? Because these people on the second floor, if they're not responding, they're clearly deep in sleep, or it's a trap meant to lure us in.
Jabari believes that we are here. And at least should peek together.
I can get behind a peek.
Just a peek. Just a moment.
I don't want to leave all the fun to the Cinder Swords all.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Let's go.
Just a peek. Just a peek. And let's then go peek. Jabari will
quick gander.
Two remaining key points to get back to the sewer as soon as possible.
True. Oh, I forgot how fucked up we are.
Yes, we have not rested.
I am actually at, now that you say that, I am going to cure myself because I'm at 5 hit
You guys
points.
Actually can have taken a short rest. So go ahead and roll your hit dice and get all that stuff. So you guys should be in okay condition. You've taken a short rest like while you guys were kind of celebrating. As you guys enter the castle, you hear a blood-curdling scream coming from the second floor. And you had seen a couple knights come in to like to go warn the second floor.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's worth a glance.
What we'll go peek on, yeah. Yes, let's go peek the scream.
So you guys sneak up this grand staircase, and it's very strange. This keep is very bare bones. Like the Jackalope Keep tries to be like, we keep the old ways of Outer Burrow. It's very like bare bones, but there's not even torches lit on the walls. Huh. It's just completely dark. So you guys sneak up, and as you enter the quiet hallway, you see a trail of blood down the hall as if something was yanked and pulled down the hall around a corner. Perhaps even more troubling, there are two guards in front of the king's chambers who are not reacting to it. They've got these metal helms on. They've got pikes at their side, staring forward, not speaking, standing there in the dark, streak of blood across the floor. Go ahead and give me perception checks.
18.
The 14.
21.
Nice.
You get the hint of the smell of death. These guys at the door reek of death.
So, 1C?
1C?
Yeah, do the honors, Jabari. I think it's time. 1C it up.
Great. If they're not moving, I think from the darkness, I would like to sharpen the blade for 3 key points and then just from darkness fire an arrow at them.
Jabari, go ahead and give me a stealth check. See if you beat their perception.
I don't think it's 16.
Okay. You pop out from the shadows, arrow at the ready, bow drawn. You see these two guards in tandem. Just the sound of like a neck breaking as they turn and look directly at you. Rotted faces, half showing like skeleton, drop their pikes, begin rushing towards you. You see round the corner where all of the blood was coming from, a 6.5 foot tall soldier, a knight that you would have known that was sort of like the bruiser of the Kingsguard. Mm-hmm. Now an undead monster, but seems to have like more dexterity to him. You see he's outfitted in plate. He has a gold cloak on, but it's all like ratty and messed up and covered in blood. You see he wields a two-handed hooked blade that is covered in fresh blood. You see he rounds the corner and begins rushing towards you guys. And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, come on. Oh, no, I want to fight him.
We were about to do 1C.
Wow.
1C.
About to do 1C. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with 1C. You can hear us talk about 1C over on our Patreon, patreon.com.
We'll be talking about
NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Ooh.
And Lou, you got anything you'd like to plug?
Not really. You can follow me on Instagram at Sweet Luzinho. That's Sweet Luzinho.
Sweet. Check out Lou on Instagram. Jake, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I got a live show. I'm doing a live show with Amir, not IRL, on the internet. You could get tickets for it, virtual
tickets.
Tampa,
right? In real life?
Yeah. We should do a
quick cool headed down to Tampa.
Wow, dude.
Uh huh. Tickets for that are at jakeandamir.com, and it's on February 24th, so you can check that out. And then we'll also be in Tampa the week after that, if you want to see us in person.
Yes, it is a virtual show. Do not take That's my right. joke seriously, please. Thank you.
Stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe.
I'd also like to quickly shout out the NADPOD shop, because we just restocked a bunch of stuff. We got Moonstone hoodies and sweatshirts. We've got Gladeholm hoodies and sweatshirts.
I'm wearing my Gladeholm hoodie. I mean, Gladeholm sweatshirt right now.
There you go. And we also have the Thornkirk hoodie and sweatshirt that just dropped. So Get cozy. Check out shop.nadpod.com.
Get cozy.
I'm also, since we're plugging things, as I looked at my sweatshirt and lifted it up into the Zoom frame, I also am wearing a Fox pin that I got from Caitlin Hackett, the artist. So I'm just going to go ahead and plug Caitlin Hackett because I've been wearing this little Fox pin that I got from her and... big fan.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on various social media platforms. Follow Sweet Lou Zinho, that's Z-I-N-H-O, on Instagram. You can follow me, Emily, and Jake. I'm at CH Murph on Twitter. Emily's at Axford, and Jake Hurwitz is at Jake Hurwitz. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's N-A-D-D-P-O-D.
We are youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and you know what that means? I do, Emily. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Julia W., Brad D., Jeffrey S., Haldor Frostback, Steelbreaker, and Matt M., a crew of skeletons raised by Prophet Gideon. Unfortunately, they were all bards in life, so instead of fighting, they just entertained the townsfolks with a bone xylophone concert. Next up, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jive G, Zolo Dolo, and Dylan B. Corbo's mustache grooming team. Jordan holds the mirror, Cutter works the scissors, Jibe's on razor duty, and Zolo gets the lather going. And Dylan has the most important job of all, holding up an actual horseshoe for comparison. Schubert the Mushroom, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Andrew M., Beardman Dan, and Scott D., Fia's team of cigar rollers who recently entered into a partnership with Tarragon to produce a series of magical dragon smoke stogies. Now that's what I call a crossover! Danny P., Elena C., mixologist Michael McD., and Victor T., Balnor's boy, producers and editors of Dungeon Dogs, Lake's new spin-off actual play show. It's like that painting of the dogs playing poker, but with way more rules. Andrew B., Justin I., TJ M., the Gnome Barbarian, Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, and Jared E., Jabari's team of tattoo artists. Their specialty is drawing humans getting devoured by demons in freaky yet mildly humorous ways. It's honestly a huge blessing that Jabari found them because business was not going well. Christopher B., Austin Bonesaw MR, Danielle R, cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, and Octolich, a group of resurrected zombie centaurs who now go by the name Sintars. That's Sin with an S. I know, it's confusing in audio, but if you could see their cool jackets, you'd totally get it. Trust me. Gage M, Sir Carl, Richard X Machina, Michael L, and Kelvin Noodles. Other seasonal sprites that reside in the sacred grove. Gage and Carl are autumn sprites, Richard and Michael are summer sprites, and Kelvin Noodles is a limited edition President's Day sprite. Sergio Salazar Salomon Secarias de Sequani, Trust the Traveler, Jory S., Dana G., Callum L., and Ryan. The Cindersworn's Forlorn, a support group for those who have had their hearts broken by a Cindersworn. Jack L., Flawless Whale, Temporal, Sam L., Nicholas C., and Reese N.S., the Cindersworn's dentists who deal with all the usual idiosyncrasies of dentistry, but also have to dodge dangerously snapping metal jaws and occasional geysers of fire. Thanks for keeping their chompers in tip-top shape. Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Colton B., and Adam G., the Cinder Flings, a group of Imperial fire-breathing part androids who pursue controlled demolition but just can't really commit to the whole idea of Cinder Sworn. Matteo C., Nebadger, Panama James, and Adrian the Halfling Bard, the Heronford Sewer Maintenance Department, which has been calling the sewer the evacuation station for like 3 years and is so peeved that they aren't getting any credit for it. Dan, Nikki W., Grace G., and Drew Nasty, the makers of the Teleport-a-Potty, who lobbied hard to get a placement in this critical shit-themed teleportation episode, but in the end, they couldn't convince Murph that porta potties exist in Eldermorn.
CC Lulu, Jay, Barnzenator, and Michelle O. Eldermorn's only croc cobblers. Whenever Tarragon's crocs get broken, she has to travel long and far to get them re-cobbled. Timmy R., Lucas B., Aaron S., and Kevin M., the makers of Sentimental Cots. It's incredibly inconvenient for a short-term use item, but who's complaining? Not the Hexbloods or Henry. Austin C., Hogfish's Above Average Hog, New York, and Steven C., the Cindersworn Horn Horde, the only ska band made entirely of Cindersworn. You might think ska is dead, but wait till you hear their kick-ass distorted vocals. KJ, Raul N., Mike K., and Maxwell C., Sebastian's dressage trainers who have taken Gallenhoof under their tutelage. In no time, this honorable steed will bring justice to anyone who doubts that horses can't pop and lock. Karen T., Justin Raccoon, Nick W., and Michael C., owners of Crispy Horrors, a fried food truck that specializes in dragon-roasted horrors. The food is delicious, but unfortunately spreads the plague. Esme M., Spartagnus, Nathan, Casimir the All-Knowing, and Big Beardo, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, the members of Guns and Dragon Roses, a metal band so metal they refuse to play any venue that hasn't recently been torched by dragon fire. Jack Mehoff, Eric M., Burley T., Axel A., Nero, Claudius, Caesar, Augustus, Germanicus, and Christian A., gossipy sprites who love to spread all the hot goss to Glada. While other sprites might have more important info to offer, these little drama magnets know all the juicy rumors about the centaur dating scene. J. Dragonborn, the Sandraean, Ben A., and Feldonis, the cast of Hey There, Centaurs, a Mr. Rogers-type show catered to little centaurs. Each episode opens with them painstakingly putting on four new horseshoes. Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Keith K., and Brittany B., Airbnbers who had booked the Cindersworn magical war tent for the same time as the war council. Cadran didn't want to cancel the reservation, so they just quietly sat in the corner playing Settlers of Catan. Kyle H. the Time Walker, Emilio D., Frankie Koala, Big Bad John, Aston S., and Blair the Bug Blair Barblarian, the squirrel folk of Squirrel Hill, a tiny squirrel village right next to Pearl Hill. These tiny brave warriors joined the living in their battle against the undead, resulting in dozens of rabid zombie squirrels who will terrorize the area for weeks to come. Porkchop, Chanel M, Argent, Alice, Minette F, Pat L, Akutha A., Cindersworn, who throw incredible BBQs. Their burnt ends are burnt to perfection. It almost makes their monotone small talk worth tolerating. Lauren H., Josh D., Janina E., Maddie Y., Alex H., the eldest Barry, and Ryan S., dragon enthusiasts who have been secretly following Tarragon around, almost like whale watchers, waiting for her to unleash the dragon. The past hour has been incredibly rewarding. The Bone Duster, Joshua Ace, Ruby Crisp, Idrassil, Brentley C., Toads, who are now honorary Hexbloods and are already trying to inject their influence on the Order by suggesting they abstain from water. We will not have it! Micah B., Carly Ann, Jorge C., Connor Savage, and Sally S., the knights who brought feather beds and pillows to the barracks. While Corbo and Tarragon are confused at the moment, they will grow to appreciate you immensely. Christopher J.O., Cole the Goldfish Gremlin, Logan S., Saucy Apple, Leviathan, guards who all practice the art of waving their swords like lightsabers and making whooshing noises with their mouth. Haters can hate, but this has actually scared away a ton of horrors from the castle. Demi A., Bioquart 7, Kenny, Remington CD, Amber K., Mike R., and Everett P., Kavak's children, who, much like the other guards and residents of the castle, have a general dislike for the guy. K. Sose, Lindsay W., Adam C., the ASMR, Azamar, Carlin C., Anthony S., and Sally S., guards who heard Corbeau's speech outside the castle and are very confused, not just about who to fight, but just confused in general. Corbeau will have that effect on you. Tristan C., the goose, Jake, Andy, Oren C., Emily S., CCA, and Matthew J., planners and preppers who wrote option 1D, 1E, 2A, and 2B, all of which will sadly never be explored. Sorry, fam, 1C it is. And that is all for our benevolent council of elders. Thank you all once again, and it is with a full heart that I say bye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.